thank you for that. We are in a summer series, where the summer's one a little bit longer than we have thought, but we are looking at the Ten Commandments, God's law, God's love, and God's liberty. We oftentimes mistake why God gives us the principles in His Word. His principles are basically an extension of His love for us. He loves us so much, He doesn't just want to save us. He wants to be a part of our life once we're saved. And He wants us to know how to live through this life. And there are some things that we need to know. And so He gives us His law. And as we've mentioned, it's not an oxymoron for law and liberty to go together. We are only free when we are following God's law and His principles. Bondage comes when we forsake God's law and we forsake God's principles and we do what we feel is best, and we often make a mistake. We live in a time when people do not want the truth. The Ten Commandments, they're doing everything they can to get them out of many of the courtrooms or whatever. They don't want them there. The problem is people just want to be ignorant of the truth. If you want to just boil it down to something, that's basically it. We don't want to hear it. Our Secretary of State, John Kerry, said this the other day. He was speaking of terrorism. He made some comments about it. And here's the last thing he said, which is puzzling. Talking about the media, he said, perhaps the media would do us all a service if they didn't cover it quite so much. People wouldn't know what's going on. Yeah. So so if we don't know what's going on, we'll be safer. If we don't know the truth, we'll be better. Isn't that what we do with the Bible, though? We don't want to hear it. Sometimes people come to church and they hear something from the Bible. By the way, I hear it too. You have speakers, but I have three aimed right at me, okay? And we hear it and say, wow, you know, that's something that's going on in my life. Well, first of all, get in line. It's going on in my life too. It's going on. We all need to face it. And so God's foundational commands, I believe, are the Ten Commandments. We looked at commandment number one there. You might have a blank for it. It says God wants an exclusive relationship, and that's in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay? By the way, Ten Commandments are important. You say, well, you know, I just don't believe in lists. That's legalism. Well, first of all, we'll discuss that in a second, but legalism is adding works to salvation. Okay? And by the way, just conforming to a list isn't going to make you a good Christian either. But the Ten Commandments are not my list. That's God's list. Thou shalt not, those are things that would hurt us. Thou shalt, those are things that would help us. That's all. We have a wrong mindset. And by the way, that mindset is permeating our society. You hear it all the time. Hey, you can't preach to kids and you can't move. So they're going to do better if you take the restraints off? And we have a society of adults that have grown up without restraints, and now they're adults without restraints, and we wonder what the problem is. God does want an exclusive relationship with us. Commandment number two, God wants nothing to replace Him. And we talked about that last week, okay, the graven images. We don't make graven images anymore. For the most part, we have different idols that we place purposely in our lives that we allow to take the place of God in our lives. And we talked much about that last week. We're not reteaching it. Let's look at commandment number three this evening. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. I believe that the verse is right there on your paper. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. This one comes with a promise we don't want to really be a part of. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. God, we must have the ultimate respect for God. To take means to exalt, to bear, or to carry. Vain means empty, falsely, worthlessly. Okay? When God says guiltless, that means we won't go unpunished. We will not be innocent. God's name is a big deal. A person's name, think about this, is an identification of who they are. And it must be guarded. Okay? Judas Iscariot. When I say that name, what do you think? Traitor. No one wants to name their kid Judas. Okay? It has a bad stigma to it. In America, there's one. Benedict Arnold. You don't want to be a Benedict Arnold. What was he? He was a traitor. By the way, if it was not for him, we probably would not have freedom in this country. He was a very instrumental in the early part of the Revolutionary War before he changed. And he traded. He became a traitor. But a name, a person's name, is their identification. Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Now, it's not talking about some kind of false thing, putting on a show. But when people think about us and who we are, particularly because we're Christians, we represent not just ourselves, we also represent Christ. It is important what they think about us, in a sense. Now, if people think ill about us because we represent Christ and they have an issue with Christ, that's nothing on our part. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about when we do that. So our name's important. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, the first part of the verse. A good name is better than precious ointment. Okay, name's important. How many people do we know in our society? And now it's a big deal. The media jumps on people mercilessly sometimes. But sometimes they need to be jumped on. You know, the quarterback for San Francisco. You know, his name should not have a good sound in our mind right now. Kaepernick. Okay, our country, and I don't shirk from it. Our country is not what it used to be. There's a lot of things wrong with our country, but I still live in our country. Okay? And I respect our country, I respect our flag, and I respect the national anthem. And I agree. If they don't like our country, leave. Now, there are things that aren't right with it, and we ought to try to fix those, right? But disrespecting where you live, I'll never understand that. And by the way, if you didn't know, I'll share this with you. I don't like the 49ers anyhow. He was wearing socks in practice with a picture of a pig on it with a police officer's hat. Okay? I have respect for our police department. You know, we always look and try to find one thing wrong with somebody, and then we throw everybody in that profession under the bus. And by the way, you might want to get the facts out before you start throwing stones. Right? Listen, I've known pastors that have done things that are wrong. Does that mean all pastors are bad? I sure hope not. Okay? Well, I went to a church one time, and this one person did this. I'm not going to go to church anymore. It's the church's fault. Well, I've worked at places where people have done bad things, so I should go home and say, I'm never going to work again. I mean, I'm getting off on a tangent, but let's get back to where we're going here. But a name is important in what we believe. When a person or a society loses respect for God, they will lose respect for his name. His name's a big deal. Maybe I just grew up different. I grew up as a teenager, and I didn't get right with God until I was 17, right after I got saved later on as a teenager, late teens. But it's funny, as a teenager, I didn't even like to say the name Jesus because I didn't go to church. That wasn't. It's just foreign to me. So it's, how many, anybody, you don't understand? And it's like, after I got right with God, I got saved, and I got right with God, it's like, Jesus. It's like, Jesus. In Spanish, Jesus. Okay. And now, why? Because now I knew him. And I have a respect for God. And I have a respect for him. And because I do have a respect for God, I ought to have a respect for his name, which represents him, so therefore I ought to have respect for him. Very important. Most of the time when we hear God's name in public, it's attached to something bad, or it's attached to a cuss word, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. How often do we hear people take it in vain? There are laws sometimes to protect people's names from slander, although that's becoming, but God, his name is open for whatever they want to do. Notice in the verse the seriousness that God attaches to those who violate this particular commandment. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Okay, you may want to attack a lot of things, but I would not attack God. People do that. They don't understand. Our society is now in open rebellion to authority. And how did we not think that that authority would not, that rebellion would not transfer itself to God himself? Now, I understand when someone who doesn't know the Lord does that, but as Christians, I think we ought to do some of the things we'll just mention tonight to make sure that we have a healthy respect for our God, a healthy respect for our Savior, and that we represent him correctly. God's name was so important when the scribes would come to God's name in the scripture. They didn't have, you know, typewriters back then or any of that. You know, it was written by hand. They would get out a new quill, wash themselves, clean themselves, write God's name, and then get rid of that quill and never use it again because God's name was special. We ought to have respect for God's name. Look at number one. How is his name used in vain? By the way, disrespect for God's name is not new. Psalm 74:18. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. By the way, we know the story well, but I love the story of David and Goliath. You know, he talked this. He didn't just come out. He disrespected the armies of the Lord, but he disrespected God. And I just kind of like David. Like, you know what? How dare you? And the army sat there with their hands in their pocket. And David said, enough is enough. You're disrespecting my God. You're done. Nobody gonna fight? I will not stand for this. And Goliath lost his head over the whole situation. But I like the old principle, like, that's my God. Now, I'm not saying if someone takes God's name in public, we ought to tackle them. Okay, they don't know any better, but listen, sometimes people talk like, hey, you know, that's my God. Let's not talk about him like that. Disrespect God's name. How do we do that? Or how do others? Hopefully you're not doing this, okay? By using it in place of a cuss word. That's the ultimate way. And I won't say the word because I don't want to say it in church. But that's not God's last name. Okay? We say the Lord Jesus' name. Let's say it in proper context. Let's not attach it to a cuss word. That's not, by the way, that, you know, that's why it's good. Mormons believe that you would become a god. You can become a god someday. It'll be good that I'm not a god. Because if I was God and someone used my name in vain, they'd be ashes. No debate. It'd just be zzz. That's what you want. God's a little more patient, but let's not use his, just be careful. We're hanging around people that are doing that. I know you're at that at work, and we hear that, and it just becomes so normal for us. Let's not let it become normal. You watch and listen to things where people start talking like that, change it. Get it, take it off. What if someone used your wife's name like that? Would you put up with it and sit there and listen to that? Depends on if you're mad at her. Next. You wouldn't. Let her be. In anger. Maybe it's not a cuss word. I hope if you say, oh my God, you're saying it, oh my God, you're my God. That's okay. That's personal. You want him to be personal. You're not just saying it because you're angry. Okay? And I hear sometimes even Christians say that. I've heard, I wouldn't do it. I've heard preachers, why are we doing that? And they'll say, and I'm not going to say it in a disrespectful way, they'll say, my God. And they're not saying you're my God. Like they're shocked at what's going on. That's using it in vain. Okay? You're not talking about God being your God, right? You're saying it in a very wrong way. We need to be very careful. Let's not do that. We don't use other people's names when we're mad. Obama. That'd be a good one, by the way. No, you're supposed to respect your authorities, but it's impossible. Okay? Hillary. Mike Clinton. Why is it that that's reserved for the only name I've heard people say like that arbitrarily is God's name? Right? Or in anger, they'll say that most precious of all names, Jesus Christ, but they're saying it in anger. No. He deserves more. Just because it's said in anger does not justify it. It really shows what's in a person's heart. Look at Luke chapter 6. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. What flows from the mouth is from the abundance of that which is being put in the heart. This has nothing to do with it. It just came to my mind, so I will throw it out there. Rap music and that type of music has ruined how people talk when they get mad. I've dealt with so many issues with people, and they're going back and forth, and it's like, you know, all of a sudden they get mad, and they break out in this, hey, cuz, and it's like, what? My question is, where are you getting that from? That's because you're putting that stuff in your heart, and when you get mad, it just comes out. We ought to listen to music that's uplifting. Music that causes our heart to be filled with that which is right. We'll use God's name correctly when what the music we're listening is confirming that in our heart that our Lord is good. Not that garbage. Well, it's just music. No, it isn't. It's more to it. Back to our regularly scheduled message. Letter C. How else do we use God's name in vain? Falsely for self-gain. Now, some of this is going to be a little more hardcore. You see, because we're representing his name, and you know what? The way we live sometimes represents his name incorrectly. We say we are his to get something out of somebody. Or try to think we even think sometimes we can manipulate God to doing what we want him to do. We can't do that. Be honest with ourselves. It's a sign of the last time. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That should not be true of Christians. How do we do that? Falsely for self-gain. Business practice? I'm a Christian. By the way, and it's not true of everything because some of you business folks, some of you in here are Christians, you have business, but I'm a little leery when we're dealing with somebody and it comes to business and the first thing they're throwing out there is, you should come with me, I'm a Christian. Usually, not all the time, and I'm not trying to be judgmental here, I am speaking from past experience. Usually that means I'm about to take you in the name of Christ. Be very careful. And if you're a businessman, be known for your business, not because you're a Christian, because you're a good business. Now, it'll come out you're a Christian, but let it be seen in your actions and how you work. Don't throw that out there just to try to get business from somebody. Okay? And by the way, if you're a bad testimony, do not tell them you're a Christian. Tell them you're a Mormon. Tell them you're an atheist. Tell them something else. Be careful about that. Business practice. You see, TV evangelist. Using God's name for money. You know, it's sad. We use God's name as an excuse. Well, I did this because God told me to do that. Listen, if it's wrong, God told you nothing.
Yeah, come on.
A couple years ago, a lady out after church came to me and told me, I'm doing this, God told me to do this, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what she was telling me she was going to do was totally, 100%, not even up for grabs against the Bible, but God told her to do it. And I'm like, God didn't tell you that. No, I got a peace about it, and this is already lining up. That isn't God. That's the Bible. God didn't tell you that. That was your emotions.
Yeah.
Let's not blame God for things. We use an excuse. Next, how else do we take? By saying untrue things about him. Okay? You know, we really need to know God. Sometimes people say things that's like, yeah, it's like, that's not true. There's no scripture in that. Be very careful. Let's make sure we represent him correctly.
Amen.
Let's know what he taught. Let's not twist the scriptures. Some little obscure little thing you're yanking out that has nothing to do with it, you're yanking out of context, has nothing to do with the whole context of the Word of God, and that you're just twisting. We don't be careful about people that do that. You know, it's God speaking to you. When someone says God spoke to me, I'm saying, what verse was that? What verse was that? And then the last thing is, by saying we are his and living like we are not. I think we misrepresent God. I love this verse in Proverbs. It's because of the truth it teaches. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. You know, in other words, a troubled fountain or a corrupt spring. The water is bad at its source. So when we say we are Christians and we fall down or make a bad testimony about the Lord, we're saying bad things. We're telling the world that the source is wrong. Listen, it's not God. If somebody who's a Christian has let you down, don't blame that on Jesus. It's not his fault. Okay? It's that Christian's fault. Let's not blame God for that. And let's make sure that we can be, by the way, it can be a positive thing too. If we'll be right, we'll be a blessing before others. That says the source is good. And that's what we want to represent after all. Number two. What are some reasons his name is used in vain? And we've mentioned some of these, but you'll get it. What are some reasons that someone would use God's name in vain? Letter A, because we have no respect for him. You ever see he's got, you disrespected me. You know? They don't want to be disrespected. When we have respect for God, we'll respect his testimony.
Right.
Testimony is important, not for our sake, but for his sake. You know, the world is looking, and it's more and more now as things are getting darker and darker and things are changing. The only way they're going to know really something is true unless they investigate it themselves is they're going to check Christians out. And by the way, one of the reasons I think that we are getting to the point where we are is because as Christians, we haven't done our job. Now, they don't expect you to be perfect. If you do something wrong, you own up to it. You understand that. If it's not horrendous, I'm not talking about horrendous things. But we're at work. We're no different than the people at work. We say we're Christians, but if they look at us, it's like the only evidence I have that you're a Christian is that you told me. There ought to be some other evidence there. But we need to have respect for God. Maybe the world doesn't have respect for God anymore because the majority of Christians do not have respect for God anymore. Oh, we'll say we do, but our actions say otherwise. We don't talk down people we respect. That's why I think when we come to church, we ought to be, our church, I love the spirit of our church. We joke around, all that stuff. We have a good time. But there ought to be a respect level for God there. Okay? Not at the expense of respect for God. And again, I mentioned over and over, but the music we sing here is very specific. Why? We want music that is respect of God. You know? Not like I saw a cloud in the sun and it made me think of, you know, love. Wonderful. We want stuff that's a little deeper than that. Talks about our holy God, our righteous God, our loving God, and all of his wonderful attributes. Let's have respect for God. Next, because we have no fear of him. We don't live in times. There was a time in our country when people had, for the majority of people, even if they weren't Christian, at least had an ounce of respect for God. It took a little more courage to talk down God than it does today. It takes no courage today. You can't talk down the Muslim faith. You can't talk down what they call alternative lifestyle. You can't say anything. Or they don't want you to say anything. But boy, if you're a Christian, they can knock you down and there's nothing about it. They have, why? It starts with a lack of the fear of God, so they're not going to fear being disrespectful to his people, to churches. You know? People have no fear for God. When you have no fear of God, you'll use his name incorrectly. Fear of God. Fear of God isn't the fear God's going to strike me down if I do one thing wrong. It's just, we have no realization. We're accountable to him. Right. Our actions, we're not getting away with those actions. See what happened to me. The story's not over. You'll stand, that God some people disrespect, they will stand before him someday. Next, because we don't understand him. And I've mentioned this on many occasions, and I hope you understand what I'm getting at here. One of the most important aspects of God is his love. If it were not for God's love, none of us would be saved. Jesus Christ would never have come. That is a big deal. We're all in on God's love. But not to exclusion of who God really is. See? Sometimes we're disrespectful. You know, and I'm not against Christian shirts. You know, he's my life. I have a lifeguard. I almost said lifesaver. I have a lifeguard. But, you know, I've seen some that to me are disrespectful. There's a shirt out that says, "This blood's for you." You know what that's in reference to? A beer commercial. You know, God, I think the blood of Christ is a little bit above Budweiser. Can we have a little more respect than that? Okay, and this thing, you know, and again, I guess because my place in the ministry, I don't know how I got on these email lists. They send me all this stuff. You know, the newest filthy movie at the movies, and they're going to tell you, they're going to give you a review of it. And sometimes I'll look at it like, let's see how ridiculous this is, and it's ridiculous. They go through all these wicked scenes, but they apply it to the Bible. That made me think of back when like Samson was with Delilah. Really? Don't sit there and tell me when you're watching that movie it's making you think of the Bible. And there's immorality. They just like to watch that movie and they want to dissect it and find a reason, so I'm going to find biblical truth. I know a great place to find biblical truth. Yeah. The Bible.
There you go.
And I'm not against, there's some good Christian movies that teach values. Not against that. But come on. You know, Spider-Man reminds me that we can get caught in the web of sin. I don't get that. You know, it's a guy that if you got him in a parking lot, he'd be done. He'd have no buildings to spin to, and he'd be stuck. Just get Spider-Man out in a Walmart parking lot, he's toast. Okay? All right, we'll move on. But the point I'm making is we're trying so hard to reach people. We're bringing Jesus down to their level. We're bringing God down to our level. We can't do that. You can't do that. It's not who he is. We're supposed to strive for his level. And then letter D. Why else? Because we're in rebellion to him. We're in rebellion. There's not been many lately, although there's this propensity now for these biblical based movies, allegedly, they're not. Okay, I think they had one on Noah. They had one on, I think they had one on Moses and all this garbage. Look, they change it. You know, because it's political license. No, it's heresy. You know, if I have a movie, I'm going to have the movie of John Fierro, of his life, and I just start adding stuff that's not there. Okay, I don't need to. His life is messed up enough. Just kidding. You know, back when they had the Da Vinci Code and all that nonsense, it doesn't scare them to change and make Jesus look like immoral. Yep. the Bible's not true, be very careful about that. Our society's in rebellion. Number three, we're done. Why shouldn't we use his name in vain? Like Psalm 148:13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Last time I checked, the earth's a pretty big place. Heaven, the heavens, as in the, that's pretty big. But his name is above that. We need to know who he is. On the negative side, this commandment forbids every wrong use of his name. But on the positive side, it demands that we use his name with excellence and reverence. So why shouldn't we use his name in vain? Because of his position, who he is. You see, the Lord's Prayer, after this manner, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God is more than his name. God is his title. God is what we call him, but God is who he is. And everything he represents and every attribute he is. And so his position is high. If anybody's name needs to be respected, it's God's. I'm sure everybody in here at one time, someone has disrespected you or disrespected your name. Now, if you can do something about it, and I don't mean beat the other person up, although sometimes you'd probably want to, you know, that's just let it go. But God's name, his position, we're always wrong to disrespect him, or they're always wrong to disrespect him. Amen. Proclaims who he is. Letter B, because of our salvation. Thinking of Jesus Christ, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. Why? For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is a big deal. His name represents the salvation he offers. He is who we trust. And so that name should mean something to us. We are called by his name. You see the verse in Acts, chapter 11, verse 26. And disciples were first called Christian, were called Christians first in Antioch. By the way, we ought to be honored to take that name. Be honored to be called after that name. Now, this isn't popular either. Don't take it. But like, ladies, one way a lady, when she gets married, honors her husband is by taking his last name. Right. Not with a hyphen on it either. Right. Okay. Remember one time I mentioned that in Sunday school class? Very kind way. It says in the Bible, and he called their name Adam. Adam and Eve called him after Adam's name. And I got an email from somebody in my Sunday school class. And they weren't happy about that. And signed her name with a hyphen. So just, where's that verse at? And I'm like, you know, and I'm not going to argue with someone about it. But I just said, you know, here's the verse I referenced. And I got an email back without the hyphen. That's fine. You know, I'm just, okay, thank you. But I'm just saying, you know, in a way that kind of represents we're Christians. We almost get away from that a little bit, right? I'm a Christ follower. Well, most people that say that aren't, but I'm a Christ follower. They're Christians. I want to be called after his name. He saved me. And that's an honor, and it's a privilege to be called after his name. He saved us. You know, salvation changes how we use his name. Let me say this, I'm done. We all love Amazing Grace. It's probably the most well-known song in our hymn book. And, you know, John Newton was a very, very, very vile and wicked man. He was the writer of Amazing Grace. Very vile. Slave trader. He was so wicked he got caught. He was a slave himself for a while. Became a boat's captain. I've mentioned it before. His stated goal before he met Christ was this. My goal is if somebody is in my presence for at least 20 minutes, my goal is to corrupt them. That was his goal. His nickname, his fellow his fellow shipmates or sailors, whatever you want to call them, his nickname was the Great Blasphemer. And yet, he was saved and all that changed. That same name he used to, despise now became who he was, and he wrote one of the greatest hymns of all time. God's name is a big deal, for it represents who he is. And none of us here, and I don't think you're in the category of any of these things, but none of us here would purposely disrespect him. But let's make sure that we purposely work hard to make sure that we are not a detriment to his name, but we're a good testimony. And unfortunately, the world judges God and Christ a lot of times by us. And we're not going to be perfect, but let's do everything we can to represent him well on this earth and have the ultimate respect for him. Let's pray.